If the election of Donald Trump was an earthquake, his accomplishments since are the aftershocks no one saw coming. From best-selling author Stephen E. Strang comes Trump Aftershock, the seismic impact on culture and faith in America. Trump Aftershock offers unique insights that will cut through the media noise and reveal what they won't tell you. Gain a better understanding of the political, emotional, and spiritual dimensions at work in Trump Aftershock. Available where fine books are sold.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. Higher education is not something that is in the news very much unless there's some kind of controversy. It's well known that higher education in our country is becoming more and more left-wing. That is in the news. What isn't in the news is the fact that there is a Christian alternative, and there are a number of Christian colleges and universities around the country that are growing and doing very well and educating a new generation of Christian leaders. One of these is Southeastern University, which we have reported on a number of times, but a lot of my listeners and readers probably don't know that Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida, is now the largest Pentecostal university in the world. I had the opportunity to visit recently and to sit down with University President Kent Engel and to talk to him about this very special place. It's also special to me, and after the interview, I will come back and tell you some very personal anecdotes about Southeastern and me that go back to 1962. Now, here's my interview. Dr. Engel, we're here at Southeastern University. You have been president now for 8 years and seen phenomenal growth. Why do you think that's happened?
I think first and foremost, we've been committed to our mission, number one, which is to come alongside a generation of students that we know God is raising up to serve the church, to serve Christ, to serve the world in their particular calling. And I think our commitment of being a good steward, of helping them discover their divine design, the way they're created, wired, how God wants to use them, has been significant. And as Scripture always teaches, if you're a good steward of the gifts God gives you, He will bless you. And we feel like every student that walks on our campus is a gift. And so we've taken time to make sure we're investing in their lives. And I think God's favor has been upon us because we are intentionally doing that.
Well, there are a number of Christian colleges that would articulate their views and what they're accomplishing with similar terms. What has been the thing that's made Southeastern just really take off? And I guess it's, someone told me that it's the largest Pentecostal university in the world.
I believe that is so at this point, but I'll tell you, we've also had a commitment to providing education that's accessible and affordable. Accessible meaning creating, I used to be a former pastor, and we use a term around the local church called assimilation. How do you get people into the door? Well, it's the same thing in higher education. How do you create accessibility to education so that you can create opportunity for people to grow in their life with education? So we have approached that with the mindset that, and I use the phrase, take scholarship to the streets. Instead of expecting students to come to us, let's go to them in their communities, in their location, and let's provide need-oriented education where they are. So we've had a strong commitment to doing just that. And 4 years ago, well, almost 5 years ago now, we started what we call unrestricted education and began to develop campuses nationwide. We had no campuses other than our Lakeland campus 5 years ago. Now we have 112 campuses nationwide where we provide educational resource, educational programs to those communities. And then the other thing that we've added to that is to make it very financially affordable. And so those two issues alone, I think, have caused a great explosion of growth for our university.
I break down the numbers for me. You mentioned all these campuses. How many students would be educated outside of Lakeland, and how many here on your very beautiful campus in Lakeland?
On our main campus here in Lakeland, we have probably about 4,000 students that attend the home campus. And then we have about 4,700 attending our extension campuses nationwide. So total, our enrollment this past fall, again, we just celebrated our 8th straight record-breaking enrollment fall, 8,759 students. So that's the breakdown. But again, when you think about it, you know, almost 5 years ago, of that 4,700 students, we had zero. And so that kind of growth has been tremendous. And I think even on the campus here, I mean, when I started as president here in 2010, we probably only had about 2,000 students on this. So you can see we've even grown on the main campus as well.
And you have a lot of new programs. Is there one that you're particularly excited about?
Well, oh my goodness, that's like choosing your children. Is there one you like the best or what? We've had a lot of growth in sports and academics. And I think, for example, in sports, we've added 8 collegiate teams, which has been significant. And we've invested scholarship-wise to grow those in such a way that they have been very successful. So, for example, we added football. They just celebrated their 3rd straight conference title and have been in the national playoffs already. And they're only, what, 4 years old? So things like that. But then also we've added academics. So I would think our health science center, where we've been able to add healthcare majors, specifically nursing, has brought significant growth as well. So it's been a combination. But one thing that I would say, whether it's athletics or whether it is academics, it is always need-oriented. So what would be the need out there and how can we meet that need? And so we design or develop programs that will do just that. That's what has caused, I think, significant growth.
Let me bring up a topic that's a little bit controversial, and that is the tendency of institution of higher education to become liberal. You know, starting with Harvard, which was started, I guess, as a seminary or started as a Christian college. In Central Florida, there's a college that used to be Baptist that is very, very left-wing. How does Southeastern avoid that trend? Because it's a trend, in my opinion, that really all Christian institutions face.
Yeah, I think it is absolutely our intentional effort to make sure that we are always committed to being Christ-centered in everything we do. And that filters down to every aspect of our culture. So when students come on this campus, there is no question we are able to create, cultivate, design ways that will absolutely be committed to that Christ-centered value. We always want to make sure that we are welcoming anybody and everybody who wants to come to Southeastern University. But we always also make sure that if you come here, and that is a choice you make, you will understand that our value is all about being Christ-centered. And when you understand and know that, and then we live that, that's what makes us, I think, stay strong in being that kind of a faith-based university that really does integrate faith and learning with life service.
I learned that under the Obama administration, there was actually a page on the website, I think they called it the Page of Shame or something. Why was Southeastern on that list?
I think first and foremost, it was a shame list based on Title IX exemption or Title IX application, which deals with our commitment to our faith, that we are committed to the values that Christ teaches. In a lot of circles, and at that point in higher education, that was not a value celebrated by that administration per se. So most of our CCCU schools, our Christian universities across the country, were on that shame list. And really, when you boil down to it, it was because of our commitment to be a university that did integrate faith with our learning, which is really a fundamental value and a fundamental, you know, that we have as an American citizen, that we have the right to have choice of how we want to do life. And if we want to choose to have a life that wants to integrate our educational experience with faith, that's something that is guaranteed to us. But it seemed like under the former administration, that was not something that was celebrated or valued.
Would it also include things like not having transgender bathrooms and that type of thing?
Oh, sure. That's part of the Title IX exemption. So in essence, I think the underlying reason was they would think that we were discriminating against those individuals, that we didn't value who they are and their choice. But no, that's not true. They can make their own choice, how they want to live their life. And really, that's between them and God. But if you want to come to our community as a private liberal arts faith-based university, here's how we're going to do life. And we have the right to choose to do life that way. Like I said before, we welcome anybody that wants to come here, and we will accept you. But when you come here, we have what we call a community covenant. When you come in and you're accepted to our university, there's a covenant that you say, you know what? I'm going to join in and be a part of the way we do life together. And that's the Christ-centered way. And we welcome all who choose that. That's a choice, a freedom that we have as an American citizen. So I think that was a lot to do with those issues that we faced in the past administration.
And if someone's listening or reading the newsletter that will go with this, and they've heard of Southeastern, or maybe they're hearing about Southeastern for the first time and they wanted more information, or they have a college-bound young person in their home, what steps would they take to connect with you guys?
I think the best way is to get on our website, which is seu.edu, and you'll have all the information at your fingertips, if you will, and it'll navigate you through every aspect of our university life. But that's probably the best way. And of course, there'll be all kinds of contact numbers and things like live chat, you know, that will help you with information you might be seeking.
Let's end by me asking you to articulate, is there an overriding vision that sort of drives everything, a way that you articulate it uniquely here at Southeastern University?
Yeah, I go back to our mission statement, which is coming alongside students to help them discover and develop their design, which we believe is a divine design, so that they can be empowered by the Spirit to go out and to serve in life, to serve in leadership. So we're absolutely committed to that, and that's what we stand for. And as many students as we can come alongside and provide that, that's what we're going to do.
I hope you enjoyed that. I promised to tell you some personal things about Southeastern and me, and that is that my father was a professor there in the 1960s, actually from 1962 to 1969. My family moved there when I was 11 years old, and we literally lived in a little house on campus that's since been torn down. We lived there for a number of months until my father was able to buy a house. I remember Southeastern back in that era. Only a couple of buildings. They were pretty simple. They were concrete block, as I recall. Most of those buildings are still there, but they have been fixed up, and there are many new buildings, and now Southeastern has a football stadium and football team, some very, very nice baseball and softball stadiums, a soccer field, and a running track. It's just very nice, and some of the new buildings are able to take advantage to the very picturesque setting that Southeastern has, which faces two different lakes in two different directions. I remember Southeastern as a kid. There were only a couple hundred students, and when it came time for me to go to college, I decided to go to secular university. I have to believe that that was God's will for my life. But a couple of years later, I actually met a Southeastern student. Her name was Joy Farrell, and she later became my wife. So I have that tie, plus Joy's brother, Dr. James Farrell, was on the staff of Southeastern, actually a faculty member and the head of the education department for around 30 years. I'll give you another little behind-the-scenes input about Southeastern. And that has to do with Adley Anderson, who does a great job as the producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. Her father, Steve Anderson, was a student at Southeastern while I was still in high school in Lakeland. In fact, he and I worked at a men's store there in Lakeland. I got to know him a little bit. I knew he was a Southeastern student. It was interesting all these years later to run into him after he had moved to Orlando and I had done the same, and then to see Adley grow up and to be a part of our team here at Charisma Media. So Adley, who is actually producing this podcast, also has ties to Southeastern. And so I have been able to watch from a distance as Southeastern has grown from just a few hundred with those very simple buildings on a sort of a nondescript campus to this major university. Dr. Engel talked about some of the numbers, and some of the students are distant education, but it's got a very, very large population on the campus as well. I enjoyed revisiting the campus. I had not been there in 5 years. Of course, I had already seen some of the changes that had taken place, but this time I was able, for example, to tour the College of Nursing. I was really very impressed with the simulation lab, where it's like, actually hospital rooms, and they have these, I'll call them dummies. They must be computerized in some way because the eyes blink and they breathe, and I guess the students are able to practice on them. They even had me hold one of the little babies that was so lifelike that I was kind of teasing them that, you know, I might drop this baby. You know how you say when someone gives you a newborn. You know, there's so much more. I wasn't even able to see everything. But on a personal note, I just really thank God for what has happened at Southeastern. I'm proud of it. I'm proud to tell people that I have this affiliation dating back, you know, not quite 60 years. And I just pray that God will continue to use Southeastern in the decades to come. There are a lot of challenges with our culture, with the government. As we talked about with President Engel, things have improved some under Donald Trump, but you have to wonder about the long-term trends. So I just challenge the leadership of Southeastern, I know some of you are probably listening to this, to stand strong and to be firm and to not give in to the trends of the day. Last week, I was talking to a young man, a Christian, who had been at a college here in Central Florida that was started by the Baptist. Now, they ended that affiliation probably a couple of decades ago, and it is anything but Baptist now. In fact, they're actually hostile to a Christian group on campus. This is what we were talking about, and I said, I can't believe it. I mean, it started as a Baptist college, and it's just an example of how this trend has happened over the years and decades, starting with Harvard College, you know, way back when. It was started as a Christian institution and was for many years, and a lot of their mottos and things are Christian sayings and scriptures. You probably have read about that. So with that, I'll close this edition of the podcast. I really appreciate President Engel taking time from his busy schedule to talk to me. And it also gave me an opportunity to just share this personal reflection on what Southeastern was and what it is today. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.